This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our meeting of the SQUIZ IoT this Tuesday, May 31st of 2016. My name is Fabien Bétremieux with the Global Domains Division of ICANN. Let me start with quickly looking at who we have on the call from the IRT. I see Joyce, Mark, Roger, Sarah, Theo. Am I missing anyone? Okay. A few reminders before we jump into our agenda. Please make sure your line is muted when you are not speaking. This meeting is recorded and will be transcribed. For the purpose of the transcript, please don't forget to state your name when you speak. And if at any time you'd like to get into the queue to speak, please do so by raising your hand in the IRT Connect room. So our agenda today is going to be the following. So I suggest we reverse the order that we used last week and start with discussing the new registration track. Then move on to continuing our discussion on the existing registration track and end with a few updates. Any questions, comments on the agenda? Hearing none, so let's start with the new registration track of the transition from Synthetic. So I'm just jumping over this slide, which is our objective slide that you should be familiar with by now. So we last week in our meeting we discussed a bit the request for additional information on potential system changes by the registries so that we could get into a discussion of potentially a more detailed timeline or at least get to a place where we have an estimate of the timeline which we can move forward with. The discussion last week added a few elements which are in red on this slide here. And so I think that there was a confirmation by Mark that the registries could potentially confirm what would be the requirements that we apply to the systems with respect to the transition of new registrations, including if it is identical to the current requirements. And there was also a discussion to reference the VeriSign SDK that's currently available. So I would like just to point out that we had set an objective for registries and registrars on the IRT to agree on a detailed timeline by this date. So I'd like to for us to take a bit of time on this topic and try to see if from participants today we can have a sense of whether we can refine a bit this timeline and move forward with it into drafting an implementation plan. Let me stop here if anybody would like to comment or propose any additional information there. I see Theo is checking, so agreeing with the conversation. Theo, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, thank you, Fabian, and this is Theo for the record. I wasn't agreeing to anything. I was just fiddling with the buttons here. Anyways, regarding the detailed timeline, I've been checking with our developers. We had some discussion about it, and the way we are looking at it, and we're talking about real-time register for like 500,000 .coms, more or less, and some .nets. And we are thinking in a best-case scenario, we should be able to do this within 4 hours. In a worst-case scenario, we are looking at a 12 hours here. Kind of all depends a little bit on the scripting on our side because we have our data in a certain format in our database and we need to script that. But we don't see many issues there. But that is basically what we are thinking in a worst-case scenario, like 12 hours and sort of like 500,000 domain names. That could give you a ballpark number there? Maybe. I mean, things will be completely different if you size up in a number of domain names, I guess. Things could be very different there. And then on the other side of the spectrum, if you look at the smaller registrars, we might hit some issues there that we do not anticipate in terms of their side of scripting. We have actually no idea if they have dedicated IT teams, etc. So that is, yes, Mark.
So thank you.
So there's a little bit of my sense here.
So
I'm talking about the transition from the FIN to FIC, so migrating the grandfather data.
So you were including existing registrations, is that correct? So you're including both existing and new registrations.
We don't think there's any issue there with the new registrations. We just looked at the grandfather, the existing registrations, that migration. We concentrated on that for this moment. We don't have any issues with the new registration. We don't see any issues there. So this is just the grandfather domain names. Thank you.
Thank you, Theo. Thank you for sharing that perspective. That's certainly interesting. Any other perspective to share on the timeline? So I think we're trying to lock down, in a sense, an estimate of the timeline we were currently trying to devise for the new registration tracks. But I think we'll soon come to a discussion of the existing registration tracks timeline as well. So thanks, Theo. Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark Anderson for the record. On the next steps, the first one, registries to provide overview of system changes, confirmation of applicable requirements with examples. On that topic, I guess, I'm a little unclear as to, is this something people are looking for VeriSign to provide, now as part of the ART? Is it something that we're looking for to be included in the implementation plan? Are we talking in terms of, this would be, a requirement for registries to provide that? For example, this is something we would certainly include as part of the 90-day notice, but I'm, unclear if, we're looking for more than that. So I guess that's a question for the rest of the IRT, what exactly is the expectation around that particular next step. Thank you, Fabian.
Thank you, Mark. Would anybody like to share? Theo, yes, please.
Yes, this is for you for the record. I'm thinking like, okay, 90 days notification of system changes to the registrars. That is usually what's being done now by a lot of registries. And in the last few months, we've seen a few times that it went wrong. Without naming any TLDs here, but we noticed that certain registries moved certain TLDs to a different backend, so to speak, to keep it simple here. And a day later after the migration, those registries would issue emergency notices because registrars were still trying to connect to the wrong IP addresses. Maybe we should, if we're going for that, maybe 90 days is maybe still a little bit on the short side, or we should have some acknowledgement that people are aware, registrars are aware. Thanks.
So, thank you, Theo. So I think, Theo, in terms of the time that would provide for registrars to incorporate, we should probably take notice of the fact that we're currently considering a 12 to 18 month time frame for registrars to complete the transition once they've been provided a 90-day notification. So it sounds like it still provides quite a bit of time for any registrar to, you know, incorporate those potential changes and implement them. So I just wanted to point that out just in case. And to Mark's question, it seems to me that when we first discussed the timeline we have here on this slide, there was a notion that to decide whether 12 months would be enough or whether we'd need 18 months for registrars to complete the transition, that was dependent on an estimate of the type of system changes as part of the definition of the implementation plan. So I wonder, and that might have come from either Roger or Jody, I can't remember precisely, but I wonder if that's still required, and if it isn't, then maybe it is sufficient to, for now, to think about this notification as, or this information on system changes as part of the notification, and we need now to decide whether we would want to go for 12 or 18 months as this time frame for registrars to complete the transition. Roger, please.
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I agree with where this came from. And to the point, to Mark's point, I guess, him providing that data 90 days before the OT&E is available, again, until we get that information, the 12, 18 months, however long that's going to take, you know, won't really be able to define until then. But, you know, I think that 90-day notice, I don't think that VeriSign should go out of their way and try to do everything different now than they usually do it. So I think that's fair to just do it on their 90-day notice.
Thank you, Roger. So Roger, I still understand that you would think it would be helpful to get an overview of those changes now so that we can, as an IRT and staff, determine whether we would want to go for 12 or 18 months. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Roger. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we're ballparking the date now or the amount of time it'll take until we know the extent of the changes. I don't think that we can refine that date any more than we already have.
So let me ask you this, Mark. Then, do you think you would be able to provide an overview of system changes before the extent of those changes before we kind of lock that timeline in order to get there, or should we right now go for 18 months? As the timeline for implementation, and then you would provide the exact estimate of system changes when you get to the implementation of the 90-day notification? Those are the two options I see, really.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. So we would certainly provide all that information as part of the 90-day notification. I think we'll provide that either way. I think I think our feeling is that we have to provide that as part of our 90-day notice. As far as providing it ahead of time, sort of as part of the IRT exercise to help refine the timeline a little bit more. I can certainly do that. I'm thinking I would need at least 2 weeks to provide that though. I would also sort of caveat that by saying, this would be a preliminary overview of system changes. Just sort of cage that, saying that the final notice will come as part of the 90-day notification. But I think if you gave me 2 weeks, I could provide at least a preliminary overview of what that notification would look like. If that would help.
Thank you, Mark. I think it would certainly, and I think 2 weeks would still work. We still have a month to get to a place where we think we have sort of defined the implementation path and where we can start drafting the implementation plan. So I think that should give enough time for the IRT to consider before the end of the month. So that to me sounds helpful. So, but let me see if others in the IRT would like to chip in. Would anybody like to confirm or share their thoughts on whether it would be workable to consider those preliminary system changes or overview system changes by mid-June? Theo, please.
Yeah, thank you. This is Theo for the record. Let's just try to aim for that. Let's put a little dot on the horizon and move from there. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Theo. All right, so if that works for you, Mark, let's do that. I think we'll be looking forward to the preliminary overview you can provide. And then that might be the point in time where we can discuss again the refinement of this timeline then. If this is agreeable to everybody, and unless there is any objection, I suggest then we move on to discuss the existing registration track of the transition from synthetic. Let me pause here a second. Okay, not seeing any hand raised, not hearing anybody. Moving on. So existing registration, I'm jumping over this slide. This is the reminder of how we got to our current discussion. I've reshuffled a bit here the order of the questions by priority in a sense. So let me start with question 3. That was the open question about whether there should be what should be the minimal set of validation parameters. Our discussion last week, I think, brought the IRT to an agreement that we would proceed with only three required field in the contact data, that is contact ID, postal information type, postal info type, and auth info. Let me show here how that looks like on the validation rule document. Let me load this right now. So as you may recall, Mark had shared with the group a document, and we've reflected the changes here on this document. So the red, the lines in red are the ones that the fields that would be required as part of the transition from thin to thick of existing registration. So as you can see, contact ID, postal info type, and then the auth info. Any comments or question on this on these rules? Anybody in disagreement with that way forward? Okay, not hearing any opposition, not seeing any hand raised, so let me come back to our slide deck. Roger, I see you're typing, and I'm having a little bit of an issue here with the Connect room. Okay. Can anybody, can everybody see the slides? It's been slow on my end. Just want to check. Oh, I see that Roger lost phone connection. Mark, you're seeing the slide. Thanks. Okay. So we'll be watching the chat for your communication, Roger. Sorry about your challenges with the phone line. So I just wanted to come back to this slide to mention here that as far as further discussion on this topic, we've striked the postal info type discussion that was confirmed by Mark last week. We've striked the impact of missing data on post-transition transfers, that's D, because that's in our discussion regarding question 5 and 6. That's the same for the E point here, concerns with post-migration impact of proposal. So we're left with two open items for discussion in this area. The requirements for registrar to supply all available data. I think that was a request from Steve, which is related to the fact that to the intention that was discussed that the same amount of who is information that is currently provided before the transition is provided after the transition. So that despite the minimum requirements, the minimum validation rules, the maximum available data is transferred. So I think Steve was pointing to the fact that there are currently no requirements for registrars to do that, and so I guess was inquiring about that. And the second open item we have is the gathering of input from registrars. We discussed last week sharing the finalized validation rules with the at least the registrar stakeholder group. I think there was also a discussion of the registry stakeholder group. I wonder if that's applicable. So let me stop here and see if anybody has comments or questions regarding those two open items. Mark, please.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. On the first one, the requirement for registrars to supply all available data, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, you know, so apologies if this is a duplication a little bit, but you know, my feeling is, you know, what we're talking about is just the validation rules that the registry will provide. You know, I don't think the intent, and I don't think what, you know, we're trying to do as an IRT is to, you know, make any statement or changes on what the requirements, what the registrar's requirements are. You know, so by reducing the validation that the registries do, we're just trying to ease the transition, you know, and we're, you know, we're not, you know, it's not our intent, or we're not trying to, you know, change what the requirements are as far as what data needs to be supplied. You know, so I think, you know, I think, you know, just, you know, some kind of note in the final, implementation plan, you know, about those validation rules and just to note that these validation rules are not meant to imply or meant to change the requirements for registrars to collect and supply specific data. I don't think, you know, there's really an action item for B there, you know, other than to just to reassure Steve that we're not changing those requirements. Sorry, I feel like I got a little long-winded there. On C though, you know, I do, you know, I think Theo brought it up that, you know, we should, you know, now that we've, you know, finalized or we have, you know, proposed final validation rules, you know, we should take a crack at it, or at least attempt to, you know, gather input from registrars. I think, you know, to steal what Theo said, you know, there are over 2,000, you know, registrars, and, you know, we only have 3 or 4 represented here in the IRT regularly. So, you know, it would be, you know, I think it would behoove us to circulate it among the registrars and you know, see if they, or at least give them further opportunity to contribute. And I requested last week, I'd like to also share that with the registry stakeholder group as well. They may or may not have any comments on that. In fact, I kind of wouldn't expect them to, but, you know, I think if we're socializing it with the registrars, it just makes sense to socialize it with the registry stakeholder group as well. Thank you, Fabian.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, and thanks for that reminder on the registry side. Theo, please.
Yeah, just real quick there, Fabian, this is Theo for Direct. Might be that the registrars don't have any input also or make a official comment as an SG, but at least we gave them the chance to weigh in into this, and that's that. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Theo. And so can you, Theo, share your thinking as to how long we should provide for registrars to respond to our request for input, just to get a sense of how that fits into our timeline to close and close this discussion and draft our implementation plan?
I think 2 weeks should be enough. I don't know what any sense. Maybe Roger has some input on this, or Sarah regarding this matter. I mean, we're pretty busy with elections right now, but I think 2 weeks is still a pretty good timeline. I mean, it isn't a very complex, well, it is actually a very complex matter, but yeah, my guess would be 2 weeks here. Good for
okay.
You.
Thanks, Theo. See that Roger is typing and supporting what's been said so far. Just waiting here for Roger's contribution, and then I suggest we move on. Agree to 2 weeks, and definitely no more than 30 days. Okay, so we'll take that action and work with you to circulate what we have in terms of finalize the final proposed validation rules, and we'll determine how we accompany this in terms of background and explanation of the status of the discussion. Theo, yes, please.
One more thing, though. I would mainly focus on this gathering the input for this and not ask any additional questions. I think we discussed it last week. I don't know where we're at the moment, but I would just focus on this specific point and leave any other questions unattended. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks to you. And I think it was a fairly, still a fairly open topic as to whether we would provide any other information. I wonder really, you know, how dry this can be, and whether there isn't a minimum background to provide as to explain what this is and, you know, why we're requesting input on those specific validation rules. So I think, it seems to me that we need to provide a little bit of background and then, as you suggest, focus the request for input on those rules. Is that what you is that aligned with what you're thinking, Theo?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, thanks. Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. It's Mark. I agree with what you both said as well. And I would also just add the document you showed that has the IRT's proposed validation rules. You mentioned ComNet specifically. I would suggest you drop the TLDs and just say, you know, it's proposed validation rules for the transition from thin to thick. And it does apply to ComNet and jobs. So rather than calling out ComNet, I would just suggest in the title you just limit it to, you know, proposed validation rules for transition to thin to thick. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, and I wanted to check again on the validation rules that were provided for dot jobs, but then I can certainly take your word for it and certainly do that. I just before doing that, I wanted to have a chance to check. But if you confirm that we can do that, that's fine with me for sure.
Thank you, Fabian. Mark again. Yeah, I would suggest that, you know, what we've come up with are, you know, there were some slight differences between what was in the ComNet ones and what was in the jobs ones, although they were both written in the same format. But I would suggest that what we've defined is, the IRT's proposed validation rules for, for all registries transitioning from thin to thick, and just sort of frame it that way, and give people the opportunity to comment or not comment from there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, so I think we can close this topic, and we'll take the action to circulate that information, and which will run by you before we do again. So unless anybody would like to make a comment, I'm getting a little bit of echo. Okay, thanks. So unless anybody has any other comment or question on this slide, let's move to the next one.
Fabian, I have a question. This is Joyce.
Yes, Joyce.
Yeah, you just, when we uploaded the existing registration, only the contact ID and auth code are required. And what are the other fields that later on will be required? Have we had any discussion on that before? Maybe in a couple of the meetings that I have missed?
Thank you, Joyce. So I understand you're asking whether we've discussed the validation rules for new registration or for any registration once the migration of existing registration is over. Is that correct?
I'm not worried about the new registration. New registration definitely will have all the required fields submitted, right? But I'm talking about the existing registration when we migrated to the registry. And at the time, because we are trying to expedite the migration of all the existing registrations, so we eliminate as many fields as possible, right? Now it comes to only contact ID and auth info. But then what about the other address info and everything that registered eventually will require? Do they need to validate those too, or?
So I think we started discussing this as part of a subsequent question, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But I think the discussion there was the minimal validation rules would apply until a certain date, after which any update to contact information of data that has been migrated would be subject to the regular validation rules and requirements. And so we haven't discussed precisely the extent of those, but I assume that they would be similar to the validation rules that apply to new registration.
Okay.
But that might be a topic for those questions. We'll get to in a
great,
few minutes.
Thanks.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Sorry,
thanks,
Jessica.
So before we get there, I just wanted to prioritize a bit the discussion on the timeline for the migration of existing registrations. We haven't had a chance to discuss this in much detail yet, so that's why I wanted to bring this up in our order of addressing the questions. What I gathered from last week is that we've had a discussion on those four points here. The first one is the fact that we need to determine this cutoff date after which we're not applying the minimum validation rules which we've been discussing so far. And so that to me is kind of the actual cutoff date for the migration of existing registration, I would think. But I leave that for everyone to discuss. So let me just open it up here for this bullet here. Anybody would like to contribute to that? So the answer to me seemed clear here, that the cutoff date would coincide with the end of the timeline for transfer of or migration of existing registration. Is that a correct assumption? Or at least a common understanding, or an understanding aligned with other IIT members' understanding? Okay, Theo, thanks for your confirmation. So unless anybody objects to that, we'll just move on with that understanding. Then we had a topic of discussion, which was the potential need for a way to estimate the throughput of the system on contact creation, because I believe this was seen as a key parameter to determine how long we would need for registrar to migrate their existing registration. And I think Jody or Roger had shared that for GoDaddy, there would need to be about 160 million creation of contacts. And so there was a concern that until we can estimate what the system will accept in terms of throughput, we would not be able to determine precisely what should be the timeline. So let me stop here and see if anybody would like to share further thoughts on this. Theo, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Theo for the record. Yeah, basically, we were discussing this earlier this week on Monday morning, and yeah, it's basically what it says there is the question that we are asking here. Do we need an estimate there? And also, will there, we talked a little about connections. Maybe Mark can weigh in on this. Do we get more connections regarding this matter, or how are we looking at this? Thanks.
Yeah, we did discuss that in reference to another open question about the actual migration of data, and so that on that topic, and wondering whether there would be dedicated APP connection. That was an open topic. Mark, would you be able to share some input on that at this point?
I could try. I guess I don't have a lot of answers at this point. On the way to estimate throughput on contact creation, I guess we've talked about, two methods, EPP or bulk. If somebody were to provide us an input file of contacts they wanted created, and we sort of imported them directly into the system, that would have one timeline. But as far as estimating throughput on contact creation, especially if we're talking about the creation of 160 million plus contacts, that's a fairly challenging question to answer. I guess I should also point out though that for most registrars, it's really, 2,000 plus registrars, most of them, the volume isn't high enough for it to be particularly concerning. There's really only, a dozen or so registrars that have, high enough volume, that we do have to, have some concern about the throughput in order to make sure the system continues to operate in a stable manner. So, I guess that's not a very definitive answer for any of those things. I need a little bit more time to come up with some more thorough responses to that. But I think those are all good questions that we need to have addressed.
Thank you, Mark, for the input, and may I ask whether you think you'd be able to provide a first sense of an answer in 2 weeks with the overview system changes. Would that be enough for you to provide a first approach of that?
Yeah, that's yes, absolutely. That seems reasonable.
Great, thanks. And it seems to me that, since you've made a distinction between registrars that a certain subset of registrars that might need, quite a quite a substantial throughput compared to others, I wonder whether that might be a parameter that may be worth taking into account in the implementation plan. I'm not exactly sure that that would be of a level that should be in the policy implementation plan, but it might be something to be considered in the registry's implementation plan. So I just kind of wanted to share that in case that might be helpful.
Yeah, this is Mark again. That's a good point. I think an action item for me would be to provide what that cutoff point is. Maybe, you know, below a certain threshold, you know, it's a non-issue. You know, above a certain threshold, there may be, additional considerations that need to be made. Thank you.
Great. Thanks a lot, Mark. Theo?
Just a quick question for Mark here, and I'm not into the specifics on a really technical level here, but from my recollection, here is there are two different type of connections with VeriSign. There is some backpool EPP server you could connect to, and there is literally no limits, so to speak. And there is, well, what I just classified as the regular connection, but there are connection policies that are applying there. I'm wondering if we will hit any issues there with those policies. I'm hoping I'm making some sense here. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. This is Mark. Yes, you're essentially correct there. You know, we have two connection pools, and one of which, as you described, is essentially designed for bulk or batch activity, specifically around the registrars competing for deleting domains, but it could be used for example for the the bulk creation of contacts. So yes, you're essentially correct. There's restrictions in one. The other one's designed to be a little wider open to facilitate the throughput of a large number of bulk commands. So I certainly envision something similar for the backfill of these contacts. Does that answer your question?
Okay, thanks. Yes, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, Theo, and thank you, Mark. I think that's quite helpful. So then let's move on to the next one. We had the need to factor in coordination of 2,000-plus registrars, including potential non-responsiveness. So that speaks more to the coordination of the overall implementation and migration. So I think that's an important factor for us to consider in designing the implementation plan, whether there should be a .org-style organization in terms of groups of registrars, or whether that should be more open. Any registrar can come at any time. I think it would be useful if anybody has any ideas there or experience, that it can inform our definition of the implementation plan. So let me stop here, see if anybody has any input at this stage. Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark again. I got feedback, pretty strongly opinion feedback, that we should not try and create Windows, I think as it were, for the, like, was done on the org transition. And, the feedback I got from some people involved in that was that did not go well, and trying to sort of coordinate, the number of registrars we had then into those buckets or windows didn't work all that well. And we have exponentially more registrars today, and that, trying to coordinate that is just not practical. So we should, leave it wide open. And, I think with a a 12 to 18 month window, that should give enough of an opportunity to spread things out. Although I guess there's always the risk of everybody waiting till the last minute. But I guess I just wanted to share that I got pretty strong feedback that putting people into windows didn't work well for org. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Theo?
And I'm going to circle back right onto what Mark just said. How do you envision this then? Because maybe I'm missing, maybe my perception is a little bit off here, but from what I just gathered is we leave it wide open. Is in the sense like we leave this up to VeriSign to coordinate it in that time window of 18 months, and the IRT isn't going to touch this. Is that right? Thanks.
Mark, would you like to respond?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean. My thinking is that we just have, we have this 12 to 18 month window where registrars are required to transition from thin to thick, and they're free to do so at any point during that window with whatever fits their schedule and timeline, whatever's appropriate for them. My thinking was that we don't need to get more involved as far as creating. I think Fabian brought up the concept, and I understand that in org, they tried to they tried to schedule certain registrars to go during certain times. So for instance, weeks one to three, 40 registrars would transition during that week, and during week four to six, other registrars would go. So they tried to create these windows with registrars going at different times, and that did not work well. And that was just the feedback I was giving. Did that help at all?
Yeah, well, in the sense that this is a pretty good example on not how to do it. I mean, if it was not working with .org, then we definitely should not follow that path. I'm still a little bit curious about just leaving it open. I don't see the action from the registry nor for the registrars if something is open. I mean, where's the enabler in this? It sounds a little bit too open for me, but maybe I'm just not getting the open part here. I don't see how we can get things going there.
Got a question.
Thank you.
For Mark. Joyce.
Thank you. Theo, go ahead, Joyce, please.
Yeah, same line of the question for Mark. I don't remember how our guys did it when we uploaded all the .org. It's been so many years. Do you know, Mark, do you know what kind of the problems that .org had when they put the windows for certain registrar and this window for another certain registrar? We got to know exactly what kind of the problems that they have, so then we can compare if the open windows for everybody, just do it whenever you are ready. What might have some kind of problems arise, which that the .org that method that didn't have. So I would think that if they had the problems, then you're thinking about the open field for everybody might have another kind of problems. So I think it's probably worth it to find out exactly what kind of the problem that .org had before.
This is Mark. Thank you, Joyce and Theo. I guess Theo first. I'll say first, I agree with Theo. Leaving it wide open reduces the sort of the driver. I mean, it comes with its own risk, and I sort of alluded to that. You run the risk of everybody waiting until the very last minute, and then running into unexpected problems or sort of getting swamped at the end. So fair concern, and I don't know that I have an answer to that. And then Joyce, I was not involved in the org transition, so my information is sort of second and third hand at best. I understand that the windows were too small, trying to fit registrars into those specific windows was difficult. Some were ready, some were not. And then the number of requests from registrars for specific windows, some wanting to go sooner, some wanting to go later, and just trying to facilitate getting that number of registrars into those windows and doing their transition activities during those specific windows was challenging. And, I don't know the exact number of registrars that existed then, but I know it was considerably smaller than the number that exists today. So I think it was, again, second and third hand feedback that I received, but the feedback was that it was just, from a practical perspective, it was just, it was really just unreasonable to try and fit that number of registrars into just specific windows where they would perform their migration activities.
I would
thank you.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, Joyce. Go ahead.
I would think that if you have solicited the registrar, said, okay, when you are ready, just let us know. So, after with OT&E testing, that registrar is ready, then can send you an email or fill out the form from your website or something, say we are ready. And then you will be able to know that how many registrar that are ready the first week or second week or something, and you can, okay, go ahead, just do it right now. So you will probably get a pretty good idea how many registrars that are ready. And then you decide from there, either open up 3-4-0 or set up the window, something like that. Okay, that's just my thinking.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing discussion. And I also see a comment made by Theo in the chat. How about an early bird promotion for early migrating registrars? And actually, I was going to go there and ask whether IRT members could think of incentives that could exist for registrars to envision the migration sooner rather than later. But I guess that could be for subsequent discussion as well, because I want to be conscious of time here. Theo, yes, please go ahead, and let's draw a line under yourself on that topic.
Yeah, and real quick here, and even though I made a suggestion with a smile there, I think I'm pretty serious about there. I mean, if you look at DNSSEC and the Dutch registry, they use the carrot rather than a stick method there. I mean, they gave us like 28 cents discount, and almost the entire .NL zone is signed now for DNSSEC. So just thinking out loud here, but it does work there. So if a registry could do something there, hey, maybe we should do something there also. Thanks.
Okay, so let me keep that discussion going on the next in the next meeting, and in the meantime, if anybody would like, that's certainly open for discussion on the main list until we get to the next meeting. I just want to note that we had a last point here, which was a discussion regarding what should be in the policy implementation plan and what should be a part of the registry's plan that's shared with the registrar. So that's maybe not specific to the timeline, but that applies to any of our discussion. So I don't think that's per se an action item here or a topic to close, but more of a reminder that in our discussion we probably need to make a call of what goes into the policy implementation and what goes into the documentation or plan that the registries will share with its registrars. So unless there's any objection, we have 3 minutes left. Mark, yes, please.
Thank you, Fabian. Just real quick there, yeah, as we get to sort of the, you know, we're getting to some of the finer details on this, you know, I think this is an important point that we should keep in mind, you know, what are the items that, you know, that should go into the actual implementation plan versus, you know, maybe things at a high level. You know, we talked about this last week around, you know, what we define for bulk access, you know, bulk upload of contact data. You know, and I think what we decided is, you know, from an implementation plan level, we just say, you know, the registry will provide a method, and the registry will define what that method is based on the validation rules we provided. So, you know, I thought that was a good approach, and, you know, I just ask that we be conscious of that as we start dealing with some of these, you know, devil in the details types items. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So let me just browse through the slides that we won't have a time to discuss in detail today, but that will be available on the website, on the community wiki, right after the meeting, and which we can either discuss on the mailing list or in next week's meeting. I've merged question 5 and 6, which are about the type of rules that should apply to the registrations that are transitioned once the existing registration once they're migrated, as well as the handling of transfers and the complexity around that. So let me just jump ahead here. The other question was what you mentioned, Mark. You know, what is going to be set up for the bulk transfer, for the migration of the actual data? How can we minimize the amount of throw code? So I think we've pretty much closed that topic. There's just maybe a bit of discussion to see if Jennifer wants to provide some details here so that we can potentially open that. Question 4, synchronization of new and existing registration track. I think we've pretty much closed this one, but I'll let you appreciate if you can review the slides. Just want to get here to the updates very quickly. Consistent labeling and display. The ball is in our court right now to draft and share a revised consistent labeling and display implementation proposal for the IoT review. Regarding the translation and transliteration policy implementation, as you may have seen on the main list earlier today, we've shared the call for volunteers that we've issued for a separate IoT on this topic and a separate implementation. Just wanted to note that. And finally, for our next IoT meetings, here is the list of our next meetings. So we've suggested last week that we'd go for a weekly pace until Helsinki. I see in the chat that there's a bit of traffic regarding the time slot for the Helsinki meeting. We don't have that information yet, but we'll share it with the IoT as soon as we have it. And so until then, we'll just be meeting again each Tuesday at 18 UTC, like today. So let me stop here, see if anybody has any final comments, questions, remarks. Hearing none, thank you so much again for your time and participation. Please feel free to share any questions or subsequent comments with the on the mailing list, and we'll be in touch regarding the various actions that are on our side, and we'll be talking to you next week. Thank you again for your time today, and have a nice and every day. Bye-bye.
Good one. Bye.